and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie. What's up?
How's life treating you, Sugar Plum?
It's treating me pretty well. Excited to be here at the end of the week talking about one of my all-time favorite shows, Summer House.
Yes, it's Summer House time, and I just didn't know how this was going to all work out. After last week, everybody's yelling, and then Luke lost his temper, and, you know, I've never seen somebody break down like that. I mean, he actually said, I don't like you.
I mean, his anger is out of control. It is just out of control.
Luke, I mean, I'm not sure I'm comfortable being friends with somebody who can get that out of control.
You know, I actually heard that what was left out of the show was a scene where he actually yelled, you're not nice most of the time. Sometimes you're very lovely, but you're not nice tonight. I was like, damn, he is out of control. They really are protecting him by not keeping that in.
Yeah, I love that they're acting like Luke is, they have never been around anybody as bad as Luke. Meanwhile, Kyle was the one screaming at the top of his lungs, running through the house, acting like a nutcase.
This episode actually really annoyed me. You know, last episode, I feel like we really stated a case for, we were pretty critical of Luke, and we said, like, you know, if he's making Sierra feel uncomfortable, if he's like, you know, like if he's not respecting boundaries, then he's got to do that. At the end of the day, he's got to do it regardless of what you think about it. You know, like he's got to do that. But this episode, this is not a, but like, I'm not changing my mind, but I'm saying like, just as we were critical of him last week, I'm actually now pretty much on his side for this week about everything that was going on, because I feel like we're fully gaslighting Luke, unless there was footage that we really did not see. But like, it was Kyle and it was Carl who charged at Luke. They were the ones who yelled at him and yelled at him in a household where there were these rumors being spread from an Instagram psychic on top of everything else. They yell and yell at him. He comes back in and says, I don't like you. And then those are the guys that charge at him. And they're like, wow, what he almost did to Kyle was unthinkable. I'm like, you guys were the ones who attacked. And I was going nuts the entire episode.
Well, I was wondering, you know, this show more than any other, I wonder what you're thinking while I'm watching it, because you're just like my innocent friend. Also, you're really obsessed with this show to a degree that, like, I really like the show, but I'm like, who cares? Like, you'll talk about them doing laundry, like whose turn it is to do laundry. Like, you'll get so upset and worked at, and I love it. Like, I think it's cute. But I watch it and I think, God, I wonder what Ben's thinking, because you're so innocent. You know, I feel like you're my little brother in a way. Like, you're very innocent and you watch this show and you don't watch it through the lens of, oh, this is coke rage, right? Because I've lived, you know, a crazier life, I guess, in that regard. So I just watch this and I'm like, oh, they're just all on coke. Because then the next day they have the coke regrets where suddenly you're like, oh, wait, what did I do? Oh, well, that wasn't very nice. You know, we should have a talk about that. Because coke rage just takes you to, fuck you, you bastard!
I mean,
you wake
I
up and
had...
you're like, what did I say?
I never have that issue when I have Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you see? You're just a more innocent person than me.
Just a little baby. But yeah, I was like really frustrated by this, because I felt like... I did feel like there was some serious gaslighting going on here about Luke's rage. I mean, and admittedly, maybe there was stuff that we really didn't see, but we have to go off of what we are presented, because at the end of the day, it is storytelling and we're just reacting to the story. So previously on Summer House, a close-up of a ceramic octopus. I just wanted to mention that. I just love that they were like, previously, someone put a ceramic octopus on a shelf and we're going to do a close-up of that and remind you that it happened last week.
I love you, but I do not love your quest for power over females. Admit it, bro.
I mean, that rant that Kyle made, you know, it sounded like he was on a mountaintop and there was like a swirling storm, and like it was like the battle royale at the climax of some movie. And, you know, like one of them's going to get knocked off a cliff. I'm like, what? This is overly dramatic right now.
Yeah, he's basically standing on a cliff in the middle of the ocean yelling at Ursula the Sea Witch.
And Ursula the Sea Witch says, I don't like you. Oh, wow. Ursula's really out of control.
those poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need. God, you know, I should really help those poor unfortunate souls, okay?
It is a very empathetic song, if you think about it. Those are some poor unfortunate souls. I'm gonna make them a bench. So the fight. I don't like you so many times just because it's just so fun to say. And we see the fight and we see Carl charge at Luke first, and then Kyle goes and Kyle is like, fake ass motherfucker piece of shit. Go chop some fucking wood, dude.
Yeah, go chop some fucking wood, dude. And Carl's like, oh, I mean, even to my fucked upness, I'm like, whatever, dude. And someone said, oh, Luke is like, well, yeah, Carl's been good, but now he's not good, dude. Okay, he was good, now he's not good, dude. And Danielle goes into Carl's room, and she's like, is everything okay? Do you need a hand job? I can give you a hand job, you know? You look really good in briefs. Danielle, you thirst. You thirsty, thirsty.
And Carl's like, oh, I got enough problems. Oh, I got enough problems. And Amanda's like, Kyle, go talk to Carl. Kyle.
No, I keep my friends close and my lumberjacks far away. And Amanda goes, did he touch you? Did he touch you? They're trying to make it sound like Luke started all of this. And now Luke is like getting physical with them when they're running down there trying to beat the fuck out of Luke, right? So Kyle's like, that guy's a pussy. Carl's like, I mean, that guy better watch out, because I will make a fucking necklace out of his fucking hair, sell it to his ass, put it on him, and then go, you look great, by the way.
I love the necklace. I love the necklace. Where'd you get that necklace by, bro? I love that. Look your hair, sort of. Oh. I love the ongoing the ongoing idea that either of these guys could take down Luke, a former hockey player. Like, good luck. He swings an axe for fun, and like you have meetings about a hard spritzer, you know, like
every time they talk about fighting each other, I just have a flash in my mind of string beans being tossed in a pan. Like, okay, we're all terrified, you guys.
I mean, even last week, we didn't really talk about it. Like, every time Carl gets into a fight on the show, which is like once every other season, the way he fights is so odd because he's always like smiling. And like, I always feel like he's always surprised that he's doing it. Because last week he's like, stop it, you jackass. And he's like smiling and like, whoa, I just said jackass. That's pretty cool. Oh, I guess I'm going to fight now. Whoa.
Yeah. He also does this thing where he gets behind other people to fight. Like, he's never just thrown. Have you noticed that? He's never just thrown a punch. He's always, he makes sure to start fighting with somebody when he's behind other people that can hold him back.
Oh, whatever, you jackass. Hey, Kyle, can you stand right in front of me for a second? Oh, you're a jackass, Luke. Oh, that's great.
Hold me back. Hold me back. And Kyle's so, like, he's a fucking vagina breath. Kyle, you're dripping. And because Carl takes like a lover boy and he chugs it really fast. He goes, and that's how you chug a beer, you fucking pussy. And then he throws the can across his own room, which, you know, nothing says I'm a bigger man than you throwing an empty can of a pink lover boy across your own room.
And then Paige on the staircase is like, I don't even give a fuck. I just don't want him back in this house. Paige. I mean, like, Luke is like,
Paige. Yeah, the real victim in all of this. Paige.
I know. No, she's just mad because Luke did not, you know, point out that Paige was wearing a set that she chose herself. So, you know, I don't care. I don't want any man in this house who's not going to point out how I created this look for less. So, so Luke is like, you know what? I'm leaving. I don't like him. I'm leaving. And then there's like this British producer who sort of looks like Randy Newman, who's like, no, 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 stay, Luke, stay. You gotta stay. It's okay. It's Luke, come on. He's like, no, I'm gonna leave right now. I am so mad. Are you okay? Was my anger frightening you there a little bit? I'm so mad.
And Kyle's like, Luke's like, hey man, I'm cool. Wait, actually, I'm actually a fucking psycho killer. And I finally said the truth about how he treats females. And Sierra's like, we all did. Okay, all did.
And Kyle's like, and he lost his mind. I'm like, actually what happened was he walked away calmly and he walked outside. And then when he was outside, the producers like riled him up. And we're like, you got to go back in there. You got to go back. And he's like, fine, you want me to go back in there? I'm going to go back in there and say, I don't like you. Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
And Luke tells us, oh, Kyle's saying I need power over women? He is the biggest prick to women I've ever seen. Which is not a terrible point. So then Lindsay goes up to Kyle. He's like, at times like this, you need to remember what you're grateful for. What are you grateful for? Masturbation. That works.
Okay, balls. My turn. Pizza Beach. Julon.
Taco contract.
Everett. I think I'm grateful for Everett.
Great. Now it's my turn. Okay. I'm grateful for ditches in the dirt where I can hide when people come and attack us.
I'm grateful for sandy deserts and 120 degree temperatures where I search for my love and find sand snakes instead.
And then a helicopter comes and evacuates me out of the Hamptons, and I go back to New York.
I find the love of my life. Find the love of my life, but then realize I have had a baby left behind. A spoil of war, the Calpe d'Or, the gift of life. Conceived in hell, but born in strife.
The heat is on in Saigon.
It's Hermie. Now that's a women's song, but I'm still grateful for it.
On my own, switching musicals, but with the same composer. On my own.
I'm grateful for the music of the night, only because now we're just in general musical territory and can't leave out the Phantom.
Into the woods we go, we go. Into the woods we go.
And finally, sidewalks.
That was great. I really feel like I understood Everett for that. Yeah. I got an insight into his life. Hannah is like, you know, Luke, I always knew he was off, but that is not okay. And Sierra's like, yeah, I mean, when someone shows you their true colors the first time, you have to believe them. Okay. If someone says they're going to stand at a respectful distance and yell, I don't like you, you have to know that they're psychotic and must be locked up in some sort of padded cell. Right. Right.
Yeah, I'm sure Maya Angelou's really proud up in heaven that she made it onto Summer House, Sierra.
She probably is, because she has good taste, okay?
Yeah, Maya Angelou's in heaven going, still got it.
Still got it. Just eating popcorn, just being like, I was waiting for the moment. So, she like high fives, Jesus. So then, so now Luke is with his producer and he's like, I don't respect Kyle after that. I don't respect him. I'm like, wow, he is out of control, Ronnie. He is so violent. He just, yeah, that mouth that he has on him.
He really is. So Danielle gets on the phone after just telling Carl she wanted to give him a hand job. She gets on the phone and gets Robert's email. So she's like, hi, I'm Danielle, the girl you've been dating, and I haven't heard from you in a long time. So if you'd like to speak, that would be great. Please call me. Thanks.
The number you have called has been disconnected. Please try again. So Luke is
okay,
also
try like, another Robert. Every person named Robert has disconnected their phones. Please stop trying to call them.
So also Luke tells us that he's like, you know, Kyle and Carl are telling me how to treat women. Have you realized the lives that you guys have lived the past few years? I mean, fuck you. I'll bury you, dude. Which is also kind of true, too. You know, I actually think a lot of Kyle and Carl, what they're saying is them projecting their own flaws onto Luke because I think it makes them feel like they've grown past it. And I'm sure, I mean, listen, I'm not going to discount the fact that there has been personal growth. But I think a lot of what this boils down to is it is actually in some way making them feel better about their past sins.
Well, I think that they've pretty clearly said why they're mad. They're mad that they had to get shit for all of their stuff on camera. Like, everybody confronted them the past 5 seasons, and now it's like Luke doesn't have to confront his, and everyone's not yelling at Luke on camera about his behavior, and so that's unfair. So now Luke has to deal with it too because he's on the same show. Like, but they relate everything to how they've been treated on the show.
Yes.
Right.
But I will say this. I mean, I do think that Luke was being a fucker with Sierra and Hannah. I actually really do believe that. But I actually don't think it compares to how Carl, you know, treated Lauren Merkus. I don't think it compares to Carl with Lindsay last season and other things. Kyle, I mean, Kyle did cheat on Amanda. I just think those are actually worse offenses. And it's not to say that therefore Luke doesn't deserve to get shit. But I think maybe the reason why he's not getting as much shit is that maybe his infractions have not been at that same level as those guys, what they've done.
Well, Lindsay's like, boys, I'm crazy. And my ROTC training trained me for this.
That's the most horrifying shit I've ever heard.
Did we know this? Was this something that we had learned in like season one and we'd forgotten about, that Lindsay was in ROTC? Because then we see like photos of young Lindsay like in her private Benjamin days. I'm like, wait, what?
So then Paige is calling Perry and she's like, oh my God, Perry, so much happened tonight. It's nuts. And Perry's like, so did Carl beat up Luke? And she's like, oh, no, not really. But it was still really fun. He goes, so Carl's still sober, right? And she goes, well, he was drinking tonight. Wild.
Well, he didn't actually beat up Luke, but he did squeeze a can of Loverboy and throw it across the room, which was pretty manly.
So Carl is now upset and he's telling Lindsay, look, I just lost my brother and I just want to go home to my family. This is all bullshit. And then it cuts to Kyle in the kitchen, drunk eating, which is what Kyle does. And he's just like, I forgot what carbs tasted like. Yeah, that's it.
Which explains why he screamed at Luke. He hadn't had carbs in a very long time. This is what happens. Now it all makes sense. If someone just said, oh, Kyle just screamed at Luke that he loves to have power over women, but he hasn't had carbs in 3 weeks, I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, you know, he hasn't had carbs. So that's why he yelled. Yeah. Like, that's all anyone had to say. Kyle has not had carbs. I'm like, oh, well, then, yeah, that makes sense.
So Hannah and Paige are talking about how Perry's really nice and everything, but it's like they've been married for 20 years and she's super bored with him already. And then Kyle and Amanda are cuddling in their room to the blue light. It's still in their, you know, California bar.
And then Carl calls his dad, which is, it's actually pretty sad because he is still obviously mourning his brother. And he's talking about how he's in the anger stage and he just wants his brother back. And very sad phone call. So now it's the next morning and the house is all messy and everything. And Lindsay is with Danielle and she's like, Danielle, I'm late. I didn't get my period. And Danielle's like, oh, is it because you went through menopause because you're so old? No, Danielle.
This was kind of like Ramona Singer trying to pretend she had a pregnancy storyline. That's where my mind immediately went to. I was like, you're not pregnant, Lindsay. You're 97. Okay.
So she did have sex with Stravi right before they broke up, but they did the pull and pray method, not the pray and spray method, which was a topic of discussion a few weeks ago.
I hope that baby is ready to make a pie chart on why he's worthy of coming out into this world, because Lindsay will put your ass up for adoption if you don't prove yourself.
Like, what has this baby done for me?
Doctor, can you tell me about the baby? Is it a boy or a girl? Well, Lindsay, I've got big news. It's actually just a bouquet of flowers. Oh, my God!
The baby's at least trying.
Well, the baby invited me onto a hot air balloon ride and hasn't done anything ever since.
Okay, so now we get to the coke regrets the next morning. So Kyle's like, wow, you know, I don't really know what set Luke off. And Amanda goes, you were screaming, Kyle. That's what set him off. I mean, if he wants to come back, you just need to keep your cool too, not just him. And goes, oh, yeah, well, I guess I should apologize. She goes, I'm so proud of you, Kyle.
And Hannah's like, I have to fill in Dez. So Hannah, like, calls up Dez and she's like, so apparently Luke has severe anger problems. Yeah, he said, I don't like you. I mean, it's crazy, you know? And then Kyle, you know, I mean, like, I know Kyle is like really good at provoking people, but I mean, let me repeat. He said, I don't like you. Is this crazy, Dez, or what? And Dez is like, all right, you know what? I've heard his fucking name 500,000 times now, more than I ever wanted to hear his fucking name. Okay, can we stop talking about it? And so she basically is like, well, now that I have this guy who I really, really like, I have to, like, remember my priorities and, like, stop talking about Luke and just focus on Dez from now on.
So Sierra's on the phone with our favorite, Jackie. She's like, Jackie, Luke didn't even spend the night at the house. She's like, oh my God, is he a drama queen or what? Tell me everything.
I have been waiting by the phone for 14 hours. I haven't slept in 3 days. I have been waiting for this phone call, Sierra. Give me the download.
I don't even want to hear his voice. Oh my God, tell me about his voice. Is it terrible?
The worst voice I ever heard. I haven't even heard it, but I know it's the worst voice I ever heard.
She's like, well, there's like more important shit to worry about. Name one thing. Seriously, one. I can't even think of one. Tell me everything.
Coronavirus. I hate coronavirus. It is the worst. You were so right, Sierra. Thank God you're my friend.
So Hannah and Paige are in bed. And Paige is like, this house has become a full-on mental ward. Carl must be protected at all costs. And then we see Carl shaving. He's like, yeah. I'm going to protect my face by shaving it. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, hey. No, I mean, I've got hay in my room. So I'm going to clean it up. Oh. So he's like cleaning up hay bales and vacuuming. And then Danielle walks in with the most like TGIF ABC Friday night at 8:30 sitcom comment. She goes, of course you'd clean up your entire room. It's like I was like waiting for the laugh track, like the gentle laugh track, because no one's laughing at the, you know. So Carl's like, yeah, well, you know, I had to cleanse last night. So now the girls are talking about Carl and his drinking and how it was escalating. And Hannah, of course, turns it into something to blame Kyle for. So she's like, yeah, Kyle was like too drunk for it, but Paige, like, if you had an issue with drinking, I would be monitoring you. I'm like, I agree. But also, like, all of you guys could have monitored Carl. You guys all live with him.
Yeah, but that's such a rough thing, you know. Like, you can't be in charge of somebody else, and you can't really tell somebody who's already drinking, like, whoa, you really need to calm down on your drinking, unless you really want to get your ass kicked. I don't know. That's a rough territory to be in when you've got a friend who's like, do I have a problem with alcohol? I probably do, but how I'm going to solve it is just by drinking water in between drinks. It's like, okay. Yeah. You know, like, I see where this journey is leading, and you're just going to need your own time, okay? You're going to need your own time. I'm going to support you over here.
Well, and he also did say, I'm not saying this makes it any better, but he did kind of like sort of announce the house, like, tonight I'm going to drink harder, right? And which almost made it sound like this is going to be a one-off, which, you know, probably if you're dealing with a drinking problem, it's not probably a good thing, but it's almost like, in a way, I can actually understand being like not totally monitoring, because you've sort of been mentally given that idea that like, oh, like, this is a one-off, so it's nothing to be worried about. Whether or not you should be worried is a different thing, but I can understand why they were kind of, like, not paying attention.
Yeah. So Carl knows, right? So he's talking to Danielle and Kyle, and he's like, I mean, the intensity, like, I just, like, I don't need that. And I question, should I still be here? Not even kidding, guys. Not even kidding. Because, like, I drank more than I should have. And Kyle tells us that he has a lot of regret because he knows that Carl's fragile, but he got wasted anyway, basically.
Yeah. And Carl's like, you know, it's just like too much stress to be worried about some guy who's going to go flying off the handle when he gets called out. I'm like, you were the one who went charging after him, and you were the one who was going off the handle. Luke was just like walking around like, hey, anyone up for a hot dish tonight? I was thinking about throwing one together. Mom's doing a casserole. Anyone? Anyone?
And Carl's like, yeah, well, we're just guys. So like, we've all been through it. And Carl goes, yeah, I mean, like when he snaps, like there's a really scary side to him, guys. And like, I have a really scary side too, guys. It's like, okay, you are people on Summer House. You are men on Summer House. You're not really that scary, but I really love the trauma. I love them walking through their like Hamptons guy trauma of like, cause I can be really scary, right?
Yeah. Carl is really like scary. The least scary person on TV. He's like, I have a scary side, but his scary side is more scary than my scary side. And we all have to admit, my scary side is pretty scary, right?
So pretty scary, don't you? I'm so scary. It's like, remember that so time scary. I wore socks? Remember the time I wore socks to dinner? Oh, scary.
That was so scary. Yeah, that was scary. I remember when I like hit on the girl who teaches at Barry's boot camp, and then she was like, I'll call you, and then she didn't call me. God, I got so scary, didn't I?
Scarifying.
It was scary.
Scarifying.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now the girls all go out to the pool, and they're just like talking about Luke. And Amanda's basically, you know, her mindset is that she's going to forgive Luke because she goes, It's like last summer, I got so mad I was throwing everything around the kitchen. And then we see a flashback of when she had, there was like that string of Solo cups that was all taped together, and she took it and was like lightly bashing the counter with it, like, I'm mad. Oh, I'm mad.
I'm scary too, guys. Remember what I did with the party favor snake? That was crazy.
So then Lindsay's like, I have no dog in this fight, but I just want everyone to feel comfortable, okay? Just, this is your polite grandma talking to you guys, okay?
And she tells us, yeah, because like 2 nights ago, the girl said I had sex with Luke, so now I'm staying out of it because like if I say even one word the wrong way, that'll be taken out of context. So I'm taking the target off my back and I'm laying it on the ground and you can shoot the ground. I'm like, wow, way to be a strong moral friend.
Yeah.
Like, I would stand up for my friend, but they were mean to me last time I did it, so I'm no longer going to stand up for my friend.
So Kyle and Carl decide to call up Luke, and he answers, and Kyle's like, hey, so I just want to apologize for how heated things got last night, and I just want to see where your head's at. Oh, well, it's where it usually is, on my neck. You know, nothing's really changed there. Okay. Are you feeling okay? Yeah, I'm just, like, super disappointed that, like, my friends would treat me like that. Like, that was really mean. Whoa, simmer down there. Whoa, God. Someone containing him, that rage just comes right through the phone.
Tape him down. Somebody tape him down. And he's like, you know, I'm glad for the sorry, but you know what? Do I want to come back? I just don't know. And so Carl and Kyle are talking. Carl's like, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the guy. He's like, yeah, like, clearly his summer is not going how he thought it was going to go. I mean, it's so predictable, right? He goes, yeah, we called it.
I like that they're kind of dissing him for being upset that his summer's not going the way he wants it to. When, like, literally, probably the most famous line from Summer House is Kyle saying, summer should be fun! Like, the paradigm or the paragon of like someone being upset that their summer is not going the way they want it to be.
Totally. So Daniel and Lindsay are talking and they've got the pregnancy test. Oh my God. I'm so sure. I can't with this. Lindsay is so that girl. I just feel like Lindsay always does. I feel like anybody who's been friends with Lindsay has gone through the storyline with Lindsay a million times. It's like, okay, now no one is focusing on my breakup with Stravi because it's like so 5 minutes ago. So what else can I do?
You guys, I might be pregnant.
Are you going to have the baby at your age? Will you be able to chase it around? What about your knees? What about your back?
So what about your wussy and your crack? So they start... they cut between this, like this very serious Summer House moment as Lindsay, maybe she's pregnant. And then it keeps cutting back to the girls at the pool with Kyle. And Hannah's like, I shaved today. I mean, I didn't shave my butthole, but... And then it cuts back to Lindsay. She's like, what if I have a baby? And Danielle's like, would you even have it? She's like, yes, I'm like 34. I'm not going to not have a baby. And then it cuts back to the pool. And Paige is like, you didn't shave your butthole? And Kyle goes, Paige, did you shave your butthole? She's like, every girl shaves their butthole. Cut back to, is the baby going to have a father?
We're going to take things one step at a time for little baby Julan, okay? So and then, you know, Lindsay also says that even if she were pregnant, she would not go back to Stravi because, you know, like, they clearly are not compatible, essentially. And he would really have to step up in a big way. So then Lindsay makes Danielle check the tests and hold the stick that she peed all over. And while she's checking the test, Lindsay goes through like a series of flashbacks of like 1 month ago, Lindsay going over her checklist of her timeline. And a week ago, Lindsay talking with her therapist about her and Stravi. And 10 seconds ago, I'm 34 and I'm not going to have a baby.
So here we go. Time to check the test. Dun, dun, dun. Not pregnant. And Danielle's like, I was freaking out. She's like,
after that, I need a glass of rosé. This is ridiculous. Wash your hands after touching my pink stick.
The pregnancy test is like, beep, beep, beep. I'm sorry, this pregnancy test no longer is at this number. Please put me down. So, gosh, no one wants to take my call. So Sierra and Kyle are like looking at photos for Loverboy and everything. And Kyle's like, Sierra, there's a question I've been dying to ask. Are your boobs real? And she's like, they are. And Paige is like, you know, Kyle literally just got into a fight with Luke about how he treats women. And then he woke up today and chose hypocrisy. But she has amazing boobs. So I get it. I was wondering too.
So then we get a special Lindsay calls her dad scene. And he's like, wow, how's it going? She says, oh, yeah, it's your most special daughter. How's your new house? Oh, my God, something's at the door. And he goes, tacos?
No, Dad, we make those from scratch up here. Dad, oh, my God, it's flowers. Flowers from Steven. Yep, so there's more flowers. And then Lindsay gives us a little bit of a history with her and her dad, which is that she's like, well, my mom left us when we were two. And then, like, when I was, like, 20, I stopped talking to my dad. But now we talk again. And now, like, our relationship is better than ever. And we, like, dance on boats and listen to Jimmy Buffett. And it's really great.
And he's like, the guy's in love with you. Are you just going to call the guy or what? She's like, he's going to go broke sending me flowers, Dad. So then Kyle and Amanda are cooking. And, she's like, Kyle, like, there's 9 of us in this house, so if we have 7 kids, I'm totally capable of cooking for everyone. It's just gonna take all day. It's like, it's finished. That's how long it takes you to get out a sentence. You could have had meals for an army by the time you finish that sentence, Amanda. Talk faster.
We also get, you know, because during the transition, there is... That was really funny, Ronnie. So there was like, you know, in the transition, we're seeing like different people doing things all over the house. We see like the pool floats like sped up and floating across the pool. And we get some like behind the scenes footage of Sierra making her bed mess. She's just like standing over her bed and she's like looking at something and she's like, huh, and just throws it on the bed. I was like, so that's how it happens. We're seeing the master at work making her bed mess.
So Luke calls Kyle and he's like, hey man, I'm here and we're at the end of the driveway because maybe it's a good idea that I don't get into the full circle part because the wood will start calling me and I might have to start chopping it down. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Okay.
Also, I kind of came up with, I finally figured out the lyrics to my new song and I'm not ready to sing it to the whole house yet downstairs. Okay. So I just wanted to give you a private performance when you get here. So hold on to your patooties. It's going to be great.
So Kyle goes out to talk to him. And meanwhile, Paige gets a text from Perry saying, we don't even have a relationship anymore. And she's like, I have things going on and Perry can suck it up.
I'm sorry. Perry has always struck me as like a stage 5 clinger. Like since last season when he came around and he was demanding so much of Paige's time with everything he does, there's something I just get someone, the vibe of someone who is just like, I feel like he's trying to have a codependent relationship and Paige just doesn't have the patience to be codependent. I think he's really, really trying to make that work.
Yeah, I'm not really sure because we never see Perry. Okay, Perry, show your face so we can judge you properly, sir.
So Kyle and Luke are at the end of the driveway, although Kyle actually had to stop along the way to piss because, of course, Kyle. And so they get to the end of the driveway and Luke is like, okay, before we even get started, I'm not here to argue. I'm just here to sing this song to you. Suit and tie, wearing the blazer. I don't know. Raccoon rocks. Oh, damn it.
I really had that one. Dang it. Kyle's like, all right, well, look, here's what I'm saying. You know, it should never get to the point with friends that it got to yesterday. And maybe I provoked that a little bit. He goes, yeah, Kyle, your veins were coming out and you were screaming at me. He's like, yeah, well, I was pretty bummed that we, it came out like that. Pretty bummed. And so Amanda is telling everyone else. She's like, yeah, Luke and Kyle have been talking, Carl. And Carl's like, I have anxiety. Like, I feel bad about my actions. Like, anxiety. And Sierra says, yeah, this initial conversation started with the convo with me. And, like, obviously you got involved in the kitchen. He's like, I regret that.
I'm just going to sit over here and look really sad that Luke didn't reach out to me, too. So, Sierra, if you want to come sit next to me and, you know, console me, I'll be okay with that. I've really grown. I like to grow. You should grow, too.
So yeah, Kyle, because I'm growing right now, and I'm, like, being honest about misfortunes. And, like, I know that there's a bigger wrong that he's struggling with, and, like, I want him to be okay. Okay?
yeah, I want to be okay. So Kyle's like, you know, man, I fight other people's battles. I don't know what's wrong with me. I hope you don't mind that I just shaped my flaw in a way that also is very complimentary to me. But I don't really have an issue with you, Luke. And he's like, yeah, you know, it sucks that you should feel that way. But you know what? Thanks for apologizing. And you know what? I'm going to see this. I really lost it. I was a crazy bird. Whoa, Luke. Whoa, you're sort of scaring me now. So dangerous.
Yeah, you're terrifying. You're terrifying right now.
And he's like, between you and me, Carl is really, really shook. And goes, I look forward to writing a song about that, okay? So they go inside, and Danielle sees Luke coming in. She's like, oh! And then she wants to tell the girls. And Amanda goes, Luke is in the house? Oh, my God, you guys, stop. Like, now everybody is going to make Luke the most terrifying psycho killer ever, and everyone's afraid for their safety.
So now Luke pulls Carl to the side for a talk, and Carl's like, y'all, there's been like a weird feeling in the air. I don't know. It's the sort of feeling that you get when you've grown and you want other people to grow with you. It's just a weird feeling. So Luke is like, you know, Carl, I saw a side of you that I really didn't like. Oh, well, it's funny because I saw a side of, wait, you just use my line against me. That's not cool.
He's like, look, you know what boys are? Boys are boys. You know what happens with the boys? They have Saturdays because Saturdays are for the boys. You know what else? Boys get angry and then we want to fight because we're boys, okay? But look, I'm sorry. You didn't deserve that, you know? But like, here's the thing. I fought with my brother a lot and like it was hard for me. And I'd give anything to fight with him right now.
Which is actually sweet that he turns it to his brother. So he's like, you know, like I look at you as my brother because we've become so close. And so my natural way to communicate with my brother is to fight with him. So hugs.
Yeah. So Carl's like, yeah, I mean, I've gone through some of the stuff that you're going through with women. And like, you have to look in the mirror and like really look at how I'm behaving. You know, you got to look at how you're behaving, you know, which is like, I'm like, yes, Carl, you have gone through that. But like, I don't know. If that's truly how you feel, I don't think that last night was really a great example of delivering that point. So Luke, of course, Luke goes, well, first, I want to thank you for caring about me so much.
Whoa, bro, you gotta step back. Whoa, I don't like this side of you. It's so dangerous. Everyone, help, he's got me.
He goes, yeah, you know, I'm just thinking that like maybe there's something else you're going through. Because, like, it has to be something deeper. And he goes, well, you know, there's literally always something with my family. They're nuts, you know?
And I know this. I don't deserve to be treated like that. It was scary. He's like, oh, I'm scared. I'm shaking right now. How scared are you? Terrified.
Me too. Like, I'm totally scared right now. Oh, my God. I would hug you right now so we could both be less scared. But, like, what if we choke each other? We're terrifying men. Okay?
We're so terrifying together. Like, Luke, I'm sensing that you may have anger issues. Yeah, no. My parents, they scream at each other every day, and they throw pepper grinders at their heads. And so, yeah, I've got like a huge amount of rage. Whoa. So what I'm sensing is you might have anger issues. Yeah. No, I'm being pretty honest about the fact that I have anger issues. Whoa. But you know what, though, bro? I think you have anger issues. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm terrifying. You know what? Here's my diagnosis. You're terrifying. I'm terrifying. We're terrifying people. Okay? We're big, strong, terrifying men. Okay?
And he's like, but, you know, at least the guy has some accountability. So mad respect, bro. All right. He's forgiven in my book. So they hug. And I like that when Luke hugs him, we see his Apple Watch and it's the activity rings. I'm like, oh, is this difficult for you guys? Was your pulse just like going off the charts because you're both so terrifying?
It's so scary. And then we cut to Lindsay, who's saying, we should offer shredded lettuce and cheese. This is all the fish taco stuff. I'm like, how many tacos can this household produce? Every single night is tacos.
This house loves a taco night.
They do. So now Luke calls his sister and you know, he's like crying. He's disappointed in himself. And he's, you know, he's just like sad and he's going to stay in the house, etc. And then upstairs, they're plating dinner. As I guess they're all just making a different dish, and Lindsay's was tacos. And so they're plating it, and everything looks really nice because Carl's like, oh, here are the scallops. And Danielle goes, we should own a restaurant. And Lindsay goes, yeah, we can call it the Tres Amigas. I'm like, I'm calling the health department. We are not calling any restaurant the Tres Amigas, okay? Not on Bravo.
So Danielle's taking it really seriously, of course. She's like, let me know when you want the first course out. okay, guys. So everyone's sitting down, and it's like, oh, ha, ha, everyone's having fun. It's family meal. Everyone's having the best time. And Luke creeps in, kind of, and everyone basically ignores him. Danielle's like, oh, hey, Luke. And he's like, hey.
And they're all dressed in, like, they're all dressed in light blue Cape Cod colors, and he's, like, in all black. So, like, his mournfulness is very clear.
Yeah. Well, the first course is bacon-wrapped goat cheese dates. Some might say when people from the Midwest eat these, they look terrifying. Okay, I'm just warning everybody.
Yeah, this is local goat cheese, and the dates actually fell off the trees when Luke walked by because they were so terrified. So enjoy. Bon appetit.
I mean, Luke has asked for so many dates this season that they finally got delivered, and, well, we're going to be having a lot of these.
Sierra is so mad at the dates. So Paige is like, Luke, are you okay? You look like you're about to cry. Are you going to cry? Because that might make me laugh. Okay. Do you want to know about my outfit?
Is this going to be a comedy or not? Could you cry? That would be amazing.
And he's like, you know, I'm an emotional mess. Oh my God, everyone get under the table. He's going to blow. He's going to blow.
So then we get a Luke monologue. He's like, I feel horrible because something I've battled my whole life is finding a rhyme with tie. It has been very, very difficult. I mean, I'm 36. I didn't have an easy life. You know, some of you just get to go fishing. You put a rod in the water, a fish finds it, boom, you're done. Have you ever tried cutting a circle into ice with a toenail? Okay, that's what I've dealt with in my life.
Okay. I put up a brave front, you know. I talk about Minnesota. I talk about going home and having a hot dish. But here's the truth. Our oven doesn't work. It's like the summer house. I've only known cold dishes.
I was triggered the second that oven didn't work, okay? Now look, I battled. You know, I battled with myself because I go home and my parents are fighting, throwing things at each other's heads. I was like, did you come to my parents' house? Because this sounds like a totally normal upbringing to me. I mean, happy Father's Day is like, fucking idiot. He's like, oh my God, love you. Hugs. I mean, how else do families work? Maybe I'm just the wrong person to comment on this.
You just have to understand what's normal for me is not normal for you, okay? Like, I'm a male model and I hang around other male models. Everyone is beautiful in my life. And you guys are actually more on the normal side. And that's very difficult, okay? It's really hard. Very difficult.
Yeah, so basically he's saying his parents scream at each other and they're really abusive towards each other. And so he's been around it during this whole quarantine. And he's like, I don't want to treat people like that. I don't want to become my parents, you know? And he's like, and then I've got all these people yelling at me at one time. And I just had a boiling point, you know? I mean, I'm ashamed of myself, okay? And Hannah's just nodding like, mm-hmm. Hannah kind of has bitchy nod through this whole thing.
I kind of got the vibe that all the girls in just that specific moment kind of wanted to fuck him. I kind of got that vibe like, oh my God, massive vulnerability.
I couldn't really tell because I was just concentrating on Hannah. Like, she had her eyebrows raised and her head like lowered. Like, she looked like kind of a Dr. Evil type. And yeah. So I couldn't tell. But he's like, I don't want to hurt you. I have battles, and one of my battles is in me, and I just try hard not to be that person. Guys, I'm really fucked up. And Paige is like, you're not fucked up. You're normal, just like we're all normal. Which is the most perfect thing Lindsay could say.
Yeah. Now, Luke, are you going to tell us about how your mom abandoned you and you end up going to ROTC? How about that, Luke?
So, oh, God, it's not that bad. Jeez, who would that happen to?
Well, luckily at your advanced age, all those wounds must have, you know, smoothed over. Carl's new Carl thing is that he is like experiencing the first smidgen of personal growth, and now he is expecting it from everyone else. So he's like, oh, I just want you to grow. I know you have someone like me as your friend. I mean, I love you, man. I want you to learn. I want you to learn and grow. You have me as a friend, you know, a guy who is just going to, you know, bitch about you behind your back and call you a jackass. Aww.
Yeah, and Luke's like, I'm so sorry it came out the way it did. So Amanda's like, you know what, Luke? I know how hard it can be to be vulnerable, and this right here means a lot. I am touched. And Lucy's like, means a lot to me, Luke. Means a lot, okay? And so Kyle says, yeah, and I also want to acknowledge that this summer, with us not going back to the city, it's like a pressure cooker in here, okay? And we all played a part in this, everybody. Everybody is equally as terrifying as the other person, all right? We're a house of terrifying people.
Yeah. I like how New York City is supposed to be the pressure cooker and the Hamptons is supposed to be the release. So I like how, like, now it's like, no, the Hamptons are the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
So Luke is like, and I want to apologize to Sierra and Hannah. You know, I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable, and I will respect your boundaries. And so, you know, both of them actually accept his apology, and they actually really appreciate him saying that. And then he's like, are we done?
Well, kind of, because Sierra's like, well, I appreciate the apologies and thank you, but she tells us, I actually appreciate that he's telling us where this stems from and the history, but I'm not dismissing the issues that went down with him.
Right. Yeah.
And so Luke's like, and Hannah, I respect your space, lady that I dumped, but then pretended to dump me. Remember that? That was pretty funny. But guess what? I'm going to respect your face, your space, okay? And Hannah's like, I really, really appreciate your words. Do we ask him if he fucked Lindsay now, or like, are we gonna wait for it? Is that just a different episode? We'll hold on to that one.
Amanda's like, as one very scary person to another, thank you for that brutal honesty.
So Luke decides that he's gonna just, this went really well. You know, I can appreciate a good apology, and I think you've got to be pretty good at it in 2021. And I think he did it pretty well, right? I thought it was a good apology. And so he wasn't like, I'm sorry you felt that way or any of that crap. He was like, yeah. I fucked with your boundaries. I'll stop. I fucked with your heads. I'll stop, or whatever. So he's like, and guess what? And now I'm going to take the dishes to the sink. Yeah. Okay, like, everybody, as my offering of peace. But he doesn't get Paige's. And Paige is like, what about my dish, Luke? I just stuck up for you tonight.
He's like, oh, no, I thought you were still eating. No. Oh, no. No, I'm so, oh, man. Oh, man. Whoa, he's going to blow. Oh, my God. Paige, get out of there. Get out of there.
So later, Carl's doing the dishes. He's like, Luke, you want to dry the dishes? Oh, I got to poop. So Amanda comes up to Luke again. She's like, Luke, I just wanted to say again, I really appreciate how awkward it is to be vulnerable. Oh, I hate The Bachelor for bringing fucking vulnerable into all of our sentences on everything, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he's vulnerable. Like, that guy's a total jerk, but he was vulnerable. It's all okay.
So then downstairs, Paige tells Hannah that Perry went to bed and that he's mad at her because she said, I'm going to be right with you, but we're talking, because they were having a big house moment up there and he got annoyed and went to sleep. This is why I think he's like codependent and like a fucker. It's like, oh, fine. You won't talk to me. Then I'm going to go to bed. You know, it's like, dude, she's like, A, she's sort of at her job, and B, there's like shit going on with the people in this house right now. Luke was bearing his soul. It was like, she's supposed to step away from dinner just to call you, Perry, to make sure you bought your Yoplait for the week.
I think she's making room for Carl because she's ready to jump on Carl at this point.
Yeah.
So now every scene she's like, well, Perry, it's like, we're an old couple and I really don't like it. And Perry's mad at me now. I think she's just preparing the jump. So then we go to Danielle talking to Robert on the phone, and she's like, what should I watch tonight? I mean, listen, Danielle, we make fun of Danielle a lot, but I actually really like Danielle. And yeah. I think Danielle and me are the most similar in a relationship because I like how sexy she says it. She's like, what should I watch tonight? I mean, that is the hottest fucking thing. If I can find a man, he's like, you know what's really good right now on Netflix? I'd be like, we're married. That's it.
She is like Of everyone there, she has her shit together the most. She's the most normal. She's beautiful. She's smart. I'm not saying these things in order, so don't everyone get mad at me. But like, that's why she has no business being on this show.
Also, like, I think I'm starting to like her more because I totally want to fuck her boyfriend. He is so cute.
He's
they
so
show
hot.
Pictures of him. He is so cute. So she but says, also, Robert goes, well, actually, I've probably watched more Sex in the City than you. And she goes, wait. You watch Sex in the City? He's like, yeah, I probably should have mentioned that.
I just also, the more that the show kind of shits on her, the more I become, you know, endeared to her just because she's just always forgotten about or just always given like no room for her storylines. It's just like a footnote where they were like, oh, we have about 30 seconds to fill. Let's put some Danielle stuff in there. Let's have her on Zoom. So now it's the next day. It's Monday. It's a brand new week. And they're all there's new Trixie Monocle music. It's not even Trixie Monocle. It's like a fake Chris Brown kind of song that's playing, which was different. And yeah, it's like, also,
come with me, I'll show you a good time.
Yeah.
Want to exercise? Kind of like want to work out? We should work out.
Yeah, want to work out. Yeah, let's work out. Oh, let's do some reps. Oh, I want to grow. I want to grow my muscles, but also my heart. Oh.
So then, it's the 2-year anniversary of Kyle and Amanda getting engaged. And then Hannah is talking with Dez and inviting him to visit. And she tells us, the fun part about dating a comedian is that they're amazing with their words. Oh, but like, I've had enough phone sex. I want to have some real sex. And by real sex, I mean, I want to play some tennis for goddamn forever. I don't want to have sex on the tennis court.
Then we go to, I'm gonna let you have it, boy. I'm gonna let you
have it. Oh yeah, it's a class. That's a new classic.
Yep. And it's a Danielle scene. She's like, everything depends on these domains. I mean, we need to get the right data to risk everything. And so that's what I would like to get to. Data and risking. Pie chart. Did I say pie chart yet? Yeah.
And then the clock fast forward. Go fast forward like 2 hours, and it's her still doing business like jargon. She's like, well, we need the synergies here because, you know, the data and the pie charts are part of a larger corporate strategy. And we just really need to align our objectives here so that way we're really like in the same solar system of, you know, the finance of what we're really trying to achieve here. And then it like fast forwards again, like 3 more hours. And she's like, and furthermore about the pie charts and the data is that the synergistically corporation business. It's like,
this could be the start of something good.
At this point, they're just going to, it's like watching one of those late night commercials that's just selling you 20 songs, you know? It's like going through all of the songs of Summer House. And we're going out to dinner now. It's my 2-year engagement anniversary.
And you know, and so they're going to all hop into a car and Carl's going to drive. And this is pretty shocking. I think this is the first time in all 5 seasons of Summer House where they have piled into cars and Carl has not turned to a girl and said, oh, hey, you look great, by the way. I love that outfit on you. You look great.
And you know what that means?
This is the start of something good.
Another song. We get to the restaurant and they're ordering, which is always a huge thing on the show. We get to watch every single thing that they order. And Hannah's like, I just wanted everyone to know that Dez passed the test. So I'd love you guys to meet him tomorrow. Like, it's crazy how, like, being long distance, you really realize how you really enjoy a person who I really wasn't in a relationship with until, like, 4 days ago when, when things officially didn't work out with Luke. Okay.
And Paige tells us, she goes, you know, the house doesn't really know the real timeline with Dez. And Hannah's basically playing with fire. And speaking of fire, this outfit costs $25. Fire.
Things are about to get spicy. Speaking of spicy, I picked up these shoes. Okay. They didn't come as a set. They're each separate.
I made it a set, but it's not a set.
Oh, Paige, are you wearing 2 separate shoes?
Yes, on purpose.
It's a new look. So Hannah does this whole thing about how Dez is going to come to town, you guys test whatever, and then Danielle's like, Robert's going to come also, like that just like cuts away. It's just like, Danielle, this is Joel, the executive producer. We actually did not authorize you to speak during this scene, so we're gonna have to ask you to stop. Thank you so much.
So they do a cheers and Carl's like, I'm driving. Drink all you want, look right, blah, blah. And Paige is like, Lindsay, how do you feel about the flower shop you're running from your bedroom? She's like,
well, clearly Stravi wants me back, and each bouquet comes with a love letter, a pine chart, and a estate planning letter. But you know what? Where is he in person? So, like,
okay, so you kicked him. Basically, he left, but you're mad that he's just not showing up. But guess what? He did show up because now he's back at the house setting up a big romantic night for Lindsay.
And he just magically still has access to this house where he can walk in the front door, which I thought was a little peculiar.
Hello.
So,
it's a television show, Ben. There's someone to open the door.
No, it's
for
not.
Him.
It's real life. It's real life. So he's setting up candles in the backyard, and which he probably spent all week long trying to find, you know, and like arranging fish sticks in the shape of her face. And it's really romantic back there. And then meanwhile at the restaurant, Kyle's being romantic too. He has a bouquet of flowers. And so he gives them to Amanda and he's like, "Hey lover, 2 years ago I was on my knee like today. And now I'm back down on one because I want you to know how crazy in love I am with you. Got me feeling so crazy in love. You got me feeling so crazy in love. And, I'm just like excited to marry you. And I wish this could be more romantic, but, Luke is about to kill us all and I can sense it. So I'm going to wrap this up."
Okay, so how does it end? Because I did not watch the last 2 minutes.
So this is what happens. So Kyle gives Amanda those flowers and is like, it's like a re-engage. He's like, "Will you marry me?" It's like all jokey and everything. And he's like, "I can't wait to marry you." And then Carl's like, "Oh, I too can't wait to marry them. I've been their biggest fan." So they go home and basically, they're all there and they hear music and they're like, "What is that? What is that music outside?" And Lindsay goes out to the balcony and there's Stravi and he has written in little votives, "I heart you." And he has like a little jukebox and like flowers. He's like, "Hey, it's me." And that was it.
Oh.
And all of America let out a collective groan. I was like, "No, Stravi, no."
I wish I had enough votives to go in that backyard and write, "You can do better, Stravi."
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, if you're gonna make a gesture, don't say "I heart you" with votives. Let's go.
No,
I'm saying I
would write a letter to Stravi saying you can do better. If I commissioned 2 paintings for some asshole of them looking their best in life that they could keep forever and they were like, "You do nothing for me," I would be like, "Bye. Guess what? I'm commissioning a painting for somebody else. You ingrate."
I actually don't think he could do better anymore. I originally thought that he could do better because Lindsay was such a monster. But now the fact that he's just been begging for her makes me realize, I don't know. This guy can't do better. That's why he's begging so hard, you know? On the plus side, we do get to see scenes from next week where Stravi has actually built a little desk for himself by stacking all the votives. So that was really cute. Just sitting on a stack of votives.
Why are your eyes lighting up? Sorry. Sat like directly on a votive.
When I said I want you to light a fire under your ass, I didn't mean like this.
Not inside your ass, okay?
What you actually missed was the previews for next week, which has Dez coming to the house and basically saying that he fucked Hannah on the second date. And then Luke is like, "Oh, so I'm
of
the
course.
One that
yeah.
Yeah. So all this stuff that everyone's been complaining on the internet about, like about the timeline, and everything, it's all coming to the surface right now. Cause Luke is like, "Wait a second. I'm the one who led you on. I'm the one who led you on."
Love it.
It's gonna get real messy next week. Can't wait for it. This show is amazing. And I will continue to watch with my big old innocent eyes.
Oh yeah, you're very innocent. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being with us. What a fun week we've had here. Okay.
Fun.
We will actually have another podcast episode coming out this week because Top Chef began. So that will be coming out later on today. So come back, check that out, okay?
Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches.
Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, Cease and Desisto. Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the Wiser, it's Allison Weisler. Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthew Sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel. It's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.